Shalom Aleichem. Today will be, I think, a bit of an abbreviated shiur. It's been a tumultuous week. But in spite of the fact that I think it will be abbreviated in time, I think the tochen is very important. Parsha starts, Vayedaber Hashem el Moshe l'Emor. Daber al Aaron v'amarta ilav ba'al uscha es haneros. El mul pnei amnorah ya'iru shivas haneros. Speak to Aaron and tell him that when he lights the neros, the verb used is ba'al uscha as opposed to b'hadlakoscha. El mul pnei amnorah, they should face the face of the menorah, ya'iru shivas haneros. And so they will shed their light, the seven burning cups of oil. The pasuk is pregnant with all sorts of questions, but really, since my intention is to relate this to the passing of Harav HaGaon of Gershon Edelstein this week. Many of you didn't know him or of him, but I think his passing is an Adam Godel. He was really the Manig Yisrael after the passing of Reb Chaim. I think as we see his being the embodiment of some of the ideas that we're going to discuss, I think we'll perhaps be a lot wiser for the experience. In any event, so Rashi addresses the point, Bahaloscha. Why does it say Bahaloscha? Rashi actually gives two explanations. In other words, the question is, let's just stick with the Peshat for a moment. The question is, why is it referred to as Bahaloscha as opposed to Bahadlakoscha? So Rashi says, Al Shem Shehalahav, the reason why the terminology Bahaloscha is used is because the flame, the lahav, ole, kosuv, Bahadlakoson, Roshan Aliyah. Therefore, when they were lit, it used the terminology of Baha Loscha, because the lav, the flame, rises upward. Loshan Aliyah, Shitzorech Lahadlik. Rashi doesn't say it's sufficient just to light it, and if, as it were, eventually it goes up, but rather the one who's lighting it, in the case here speaking to Aaron a coin, but the truth is it's kosher by any coin, right? As he's lighting it, he should light it in such a fashion, achite shall have his olam elav. In other words, doesn't light it in a sort of, you know, casual fashion, boom, right, sputter, and it finally goes up. He needs to keep his hand there until the shall have his, the flame rises up on its own. There are other perushim as well, also. So this is Fasemis. Rashi, shetiyah shall have his olam elav. Hear this? Rashi says that you hold the taper that was used to light the menorah until the flame rises on its own. Why? There's a theme of the Shvat Semis that appears and reappears in all of his writings, that every object, every experience, be it pleasant or be spared, may it be bitter, every object, every experience, a relationship, everything we come into contact with in the world has the nekuda, has the point of Hashem's will that is waiting to be revealed in it. It's covered by a shell, it's covered by an outer covering. But there is this nekuda, there is the point of Hashem's will that is waiting to be revealed. Shakol toli b'avodas ha'odam. But it doesn't happen on its own. It doesn't happen automatically. It requires the avoda of the Adam, lo orer hislavus lahatos hakol Hashem Yisbarach. Only Adam, through his interaction with this object or with this event, etc., yeah, be it positive, God forbid, negative, only through his interaction can he cause the flame to rise out. And why? Sosem doesn't speak about this over here, but he says it another place. The nusach that we say in the bracha, asher kiddushanu b'mitzvosa v'tzivanu. Whatever it happens to be, Alan Teal's a dime, Alan Teal's a love, what do you call it, whatever. Asher kiddushinu mitzvos HaKadosh Baruch Hu has sanctified us, just like every object and every experience has embedded in it the will of Hashem that's waiting to be revealed through the one who does the mitzvah, so too in every person, Asher kiddushinu mitzvos HaKadosh Baruch Hu has mekadosh us with the kedushas HaMitzvos, v'tzivanu, and he gave us the act of tzivui, to, as it were, to extract that from the potential and make it, to actualize it. So really what's happening when you have any person doing a mitzvah, it is as though the deepest, innermost point of the Kedusha that Hashem has embedded in him, and the Kedusha is a mitzvah that Hashem has embedded in every Jew, that in turn comes the contact, right, with the mutual attraction to the will of Hashem that's meant to be revealed in this object, and will only be revealed through the doing of the mitzvah, the two, as it were, the person and the object or experience he's having, they join together. They fuse through the act of the mitzvah. You hear this? We fuse. This is the many formal mitzvahs. They're informal mitzvahs. You've got tzitzis, you've got tefillin, you've got mikvah, you've got lighting candles, whatever. Yeah, these are all formal. But we're always confronted with choices that our attachment to the world of Torah and mitzvah will determine how we react. Someone wrongs us, someone treats us shabbily, right? There are ways to deal with it, there are ways to relate to it. There's Torah ways, or the street ways. When a person chooses to relate to any of the vicissitudes, if we could use that terminology, of life, using the lens and the apparatus of the Torah, he is, once again, revealing the embedded light that's in that through his energizing that embedded light that Hashem has put inside of us. And as the Sfasetim continues, this idea of holding the taper there, the candle there, until the oil, the wick and the oil, is the shalheves, the flame of the wick and the oil of the oil rises up on its own, that's to show a true fusion between the two. And that's why the flame rises so well. Ki kefi rotzon v'cheshek ha'adam me'orer rotzon b'chol advarim. What you put in is what you take out. The investment of thought, the investment of heart, the investment of strength of character to do what is right, right? As that's applied to the mitzvah, and as that mitzvah, as it were, is, yeah, in an object or an event, it causes the light to rise out of that event or that object. You hear? It's a big thing. Big thing. Let's digress for a moment, but it's not really a digression. It says back in Sefer Bereishis, Parshas Vayigash, Yaakov is coming to Yosef. And Yosef sees him coming. Vayaser Yosef Merkavto. Yosef is coming to greet his father, who's not seen in so many years, his beloved father. And his father is coming to his beloved son after so many years. So many misgivings, so many thoughts, it all was lost. It says that Yosef ties up his Merkava, and he runs, right, Vayal, across Israel, he runs towards his father, Goshna, Vayera, right, takes his merkava, takes his chariot, and he goes to Goshen to see his father. Vayera elav, vayipol al tzavarav, vayef al tzavarav od. And he fell upon his neck and he cried, right, and he cried exceedingly. Rashi says, who's crying on whose neck? Yosef is crying upon the neck of Yaakov Avinu. And what's Yaakov Avinu doing? And Rashi says, in the name of Chazal, shayakore es hashma. He's been Kori es Hashma. Shema Yisrael. He's speaking to himself and to us as well, but he's the initial Yisrael. Shema Yisrael. Shem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. That's what Yaakov is saying. Yosef is crying upon his neck. And why? He says, let's draw more. Shenafel Yosef al Tzavari, Aviv Volkovit Tzoik, Avi Rechav Yisrael Parashov. My father, you are the chariot of Israel. And all of its riders will niskara bezel shabachal tzavarav od Yosef mashabachal brishon. He cried exceedingly. Yaakov lo bachal tzavarav. And Yaakov did not cry upon Yosef's neck. Vishayakori kriyashma kimamaram zal. He was reading kriyashma. Varemiz bezel mashakasavti besod sulam. Fascinating. The sulam, remember the ladder of Yaakovina's dream. Sulam mutzavar tzavarosho rosham agiyah shamayim. He dreamt of a ladder whose base is upon the earth and whose head reaches the heavens. Right? Yaakov, as it were, binds together the heavens and the earth. Yaakov is the Sulam. Haremez b'zeh ma shekasav v'yisod asulam ki Yaakov yodo liyachid is Hashem mikol ha'odom v'lakash ha'kol d'ram v'chol lomos elu v'elu. He is the Sulam, just as there is a Sulam at the Beis HaMikdosh that binds together the heavens and the earth, so to Yaakov in the plane of life is the Sulam, mutzavar to Rosh HaMengi HaShemayim. That's why he's also called a Tzavar. The Chassam Sofer used the terminology. The Tzavar, just as the neck attaches the body with all of its movement to the world of the Seichel, to the world where the seat of the Neshama is to be found. Just as, right? That's the neck, so too Yaakov is the Tzavar. He is the neck connecting the heavens to the earth. Yaakov is, the Sulam. He is the ladder connecting the heavens to the earth. So we saw how a person attaches himself to the mitzvah, he fuses with the mitzvah. The mitzvah is an unearthly, it's beyond an earthly action. But it's meant to be bequeathed upon the earth. Those who are mekayim the mitzvahs, especially with all of their seichel, with all of their heart, with all of their vigor, they're like that sulam of Yaakov connecting the heavens to the earth. They're like the tzavar, the neck that connects, the world of the mind to the world of the guf. Yeah. That's Parashas Aneros. In our Parshas also, we find another concept, which is very fascinating. There's a din. I mean, this is not in our Parshas, this is in the Gemara, in Irvin. Halach is that you count a certain amount of difference, what they call 2,000 amas, outside the city. If, however, you have, not a city, but you have a collection of huts that happen to be encamped together, you have to count the 2,000 amas from the individual hut. It doesn't form a city because it's temporary dwellings. Ask the Gemara and Erevin, if that be the case, then how can we learn it from the Mishkan? After all, in the Mishkan, right, they were sleeping in the time of the Midbar, I should say, what do you call it? They were sleeping in huts. Huts. Not solid hut buildings. And yet we know, the Gemara explains, that they traveled from one side of the Machla to the other. It was three parsos on either side of the Machla, six parsos, a lot more than, what do you call it, than Dalad Milan and four mil. How can they walk? After all, you have to count the tchum, you have to count the limit of where you can walk to. In other words, there's a din called Eruvei Tchumim, that you're not allowed to walk 2,000 amas beyond the city, or if you have an individual house, beyond your house. If your house is in the middle of a valley someplace, there's no one else around, you count 2,000 amas, you can't walk past 2,000 amas past your house. If it's a city, though, even though your house might be in the eastern side of the city, you can walk 2,000 amas from the end of the western side of the city, because it's all one city. But if it's a group of huts, it doesn't have a shame of an ear to it. It's not a city. And therefore you count the 2,000 amas from your personal house. Ask the Gemara, how could you possibly say that? We learned all of our dinim of Shabbos from what took place in the Mishkan. And the encampment of the Jewish people was bigger than what he called it, than 2,000 amas. And yet people walked from one side to the other, as the Gemara explains that. I don't want to get into the whole story. They walked from one side to the other. But how could you have to count 2,000 amas from your individual hut? Because it's not a city, it's a collection of huts. So the Gemara, no. Because it says in the pasuk, "Al pi Hashem Yisu, Al pi Hashem Yachanu, Hashem Ismerish Hashem Shamaru," because it says that they followed the guarding, they followed their job description in the desert, And they traveled Al Pi Hashem, and they, what do you call it, encamped Al Pi Hashem. When you're encamped Al Pi Hashem, even on the outside, it looks like, what is this? It's a nothing. It's a two by nothing. It's a two by nothing. It's a little hut. It's like Rav Gershon Edelstein, Zechatarik Levracha, or Rav Chaim Kanievsky, Zechatarik Levracha, or Rav Arlen Steinman's, yeah, Zechatarik Levracha's kitchen. It's a nothing. Because it's Al Pi Hashem. This Hashem says what you should be. Yachanu. Or Al Pi Hashem Yisu, it's time to leave. Then there's nothing more permanent than a place Hashem says you must be here now. And nothing more impermanent than when Hashem says you must leave here. There's no purpose in your being here any longer. Al Pi Hashem Yisu, Al Pi Hashem Yachanu, Es Mishmeres Hashem Shamaro. That was the Yaakov Edelstein. Complete connection to Torah and mitzvahs. That was his life. That was his life. That was the focus of everything that he did. So you might be thinking to yourself, what does this have to do with me? I'm not such a big tzaddik. It's nice to talk about the tzaddik, but what does that do for me? So I'll add to the question. Rav Yaakov Edelstein was a Rosh Hashiva in Ponovich for 77 years. From when he was 23 years old. 77 years. Giving a shir in Ponovich Yeshiva. Whole 9 yards. The long black coat. The dikduk b'halacha. The ins and outs. So you'd say, really, what does that have to do with me? Not my world. So I'll tell you something. I saw a video once. I don't know if they got permission to do it, but it was a video. Maybe they got permission from it. Certainly wasn't an official video. They got permission. It was a Kirov organization. I'm not sure if it was Kirov Rechokim or Kirov Krovim. You know the difference? Kirov Rechokim are people who are very far away to begin with, who are trying to bring them closer. After all, they're our brothers, they're our sisters, bring them closer to Yiddishkeit. And Kirov Krovim are the people who were once part of the fold, but have, as the lexicon of the day is, they went off the D. They're no longer attached. And so this person asked the Rosh Hashiva, what does Rosh Hashiva say? Let's say you're walking with your son on Shabbos, and all of a sudden he whips a cigarette out of his pocket and lights it up. What do you do? And Rav Gershon Edelstein said, Rak Yamin Mekarevis. You know what that means? Only the right hand to bring close. Chazal tell us that as a standard, oftentimes in the world of education, small docha, the weaker hand is the left hand, push away a little bit. Right? Person should feel a certain amount of limitation, of din. The stronger hand, the right hand, yamin mekarevis, bring close with the right hand. And Rav Gershon said over here, Rak yamin mekarevis. He just lit up a cigarette. He obviously was frum. We're talking about a religious father walking with his son who whips a cigarette out of his pocket on Shabbos and lights it up. And Rav Gershon said, Rak yamin mekarevis. He comes on Friday night with his girlfriend and things are not what you would hope. And he's at the table. And said, Rav Gershon, ain't small docha. But Chazal say, Smol docha v'imim karevis. Push away with the left. Bring closer to the right. The left is weaker, the right is stronger. But there has to be something. No. No. Ein smol docha. Rak yamin mekarevis. Hemanusim. The hemanusim. They're not totally responsible for their actions. They've been entrapped. They may have been trapped themselves. But they've been entrapped in a system where they're not totally responsible for what they do anymore. So I ask you, how does a person who was Rosh Hashiva for 73 years in Ponovich, those were his Dalaramas, that was his world. 73 years! He died with the pen in his hand, writing the next shir. How could he be in touch? He must be totally antiquated. How could he be so in touch with a generation that's so disconnected? That they've left, right, their observance behind. And to this he says, Ein smol zochai, rakamim mekareves. Anusim heim, anusim heim. You know how he knows what to say? Because he transformed himself into a ladder connecting the heavens and the earth. Just like Yaakov Avinu did then, so too the Gershon Edelstein and the people who were like him has transformed themselves into ladders connecting the heavens and the earth. I hope you understand that. I hope that resonates. Because in the world that we live in, right, we have to aspire to arise upon that ladder. He is the ladder. But we have to aspire to arise consistently and constantly upon it, on the rungs of that ladder. We have to recognize the ladder there, as he so eloquently and so splendidly demonstrated through his actions. We have to know it's there. We have to climb the rungs one at a time, not jumping in a way that will just fall on our face, one at a time. But it has to be done. We know we live in a world, and that world, unfortunately, is filled with people who are ignorant and cynical. And they mock, and they say, "Yeah, I understand as well or better, perhaps, than those cloistered rabbis. Beware the Jabberwock. This is someone and something to beware of." If we listen to this too long, we're influenced by it. And from the moment that we cease to believe that a man of flesh and blood can become a ladder or a neck of the world, the minute we cease to believe that there can be a person like that, who could live in the four amos of the halacha for 73 years, giving a shiur every day in Panovich Yeshiva, and to die preparing the next shiur when he's 100 years old. If we stop believing in that phenomenon, then we will lose the connection to the ladder for our ability to climb a stair at a time. The world of cynicism and mockery says, "Ain't the fuck that? What does he know? We know better." But someone who has seen Gedolei Yisrael, no, we don't understand the way they understand. We don't comprehend the way they comprehend. They are beyond us. They have climbed the ladder way beyond us, or in some cases, they've become a ladder unto themselves. If we recognize that, and don't give in to the mockery and the cynicism, "Of course I know better than he does," then we won't lose our connection to the ladder for ourselves. We have to always know the ladder is never lost to us. We have to aspire to greatness. But if you fall, right, and I've heard say that it happens on occasion, pick yourself up and dust yourself off. Kisheva yipol tzadik v'kam, for the tzadik shall fall seven times and pick himself up again and again and again and again. This is what I'm trying to communicate. I hope you understand the lesson. I hope you understand that if we recognize that there are people who are literally ladders connecting heaven and earth, then we will have the strength, the wisdom, the foresight to climb the rungs of those ladders in our own lives, in our own way. And we won't fall prey to those who would mock and be cynical and say, I never saw a person so attached. You could say that you lived a time when there was a person who was attached, or I should say better, he attached the heavens and the earth together. So too, you'll also be able to accomplish that. Believe in Hashem. Believe in His Torah. Believe in yourself, and you have the capacity to rise upon that ladder. Hatzlacha. Good luck.